107 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. I know, been threatening it for years and years, but we probably will very soon, to not miss moments just like that, have the Facebook Live feed going in here in the studio. I know, Kelly. Yes, yes, I know. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just giving you the mama eyes.
Yes, you do. You do. Because the moment we were in a discussion about a bunch of things, but on Eli Gold, of course, and we're all talking about it. And just less than a minute ago, our buddy Jeff Poore with Breitbart and Lanyap, Yellowhammer News, just drops this line about Eli's book.
Yeah, why doesn't he have an audio book? But it turns out he does.
He does?
So
okay.
I spoke too soon.
Okay, well, I thought for a second, when you said, I said, if anybody's going to have the audiobook version, and it would be Eli Gold reading his own book.
And it would be, you know, blasphemy if he doesn't voice his own audiobook. That would not, I mean.
Yeah, he is the narrator.
Okay, good, good.
And so in the middle of it, does he stop as he says? And at 17, I began an affinity for broadcasting in a New York radio station. This section brought to you by Golden Flake Potato Chips and Talbot Country Ford.
The foreword in the book is Vern Lundquist, if you could stomach that.
Okay, you want to just play a game here of people I would hang out with to have a couple pitchers of beer and a burger? Eli Gold and Vern Lundquist, to sit between them, let's say Vern 10 years ago maybe?
Vern would get on my nerves.
I think he would be. He's such a character.
I pretend to be Gary, I guess.
I see where we're going this morning. This is what happens when our buddy Jeff comes in. All right, a couple of things this hour to bounce around. One of them, obviously, Jeff Poore sitting in the studio. We're going to talk about the retirement that you telegraphed that the other day, talking about possible retirements coming. Could it be Kennedy and what that means for the nature of the Supreme Court? And a lot of people just, it seems like in national media, a lot of people seem shocked, but here you are, you've been telling us for a while that this is something that's in play.
Well, I mean, it's been talked about for probably ever since Trump was elected. I would go back probably since the confirmation of Neil Gorsuch, and it's brought up the conversation, and everyone's kind of said, well, he looks like he's going to be the next to go. So, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, it doesn't really shock you till it actually happens.
Right.
And I think that's what happened. Trump's got a really big opportunity here to have a lasting impact, even if he does not win re-election in 2020.
Okay, here's the local angle, right, is going to be the Bill Pryor angle. And that's been discussed and listen, President Trump has said the name of Bill Pryor before in talking about things. But then yesterday, Don, were we listening to the audio cut, or Kelly, Woody had the cut this morning, and it was Trump talking about some possible replacements for Kennedy, and I didn't hear Pryor's name in that run. That didn't mean anything, but I mean, he went down some, and I didn't hear Pryor at all.
That was Westwood One mentioning, and they were. I thought they were going to go through the entire 25 person list, but they named four, and Pryor was not one of the four they mentioned.
Okay, this is good to know. So what I heard, this goes back to check your sources and stuff. It caught me this morning as well. So they cut that short.
Yes, yeah, they didn't mention Pryor.
The way it sounded in the clip is it was just, here are the names he's considering, and then the clip's over, and I didn't think there was another name.
Yeah, I think they were just going through some of the names, but in many of the reports I've seen, Pryor's listed right there near the top.
Okay, well, I mean, because I know in the past the president has mentioned his name. And then can you imagine a situation where, you know, us here in little old Mobile would have the Attorney General of the United States and a Supreme Court Justice, both, with dwelling, you know, either history here or having a house here. That'd be
the, yeah. Well, that'd be the first one from Alabama since Hugo Black, right?
Yeah. I guess that was. And that's been, Hugo Black was for
last century, yeah. So what I think Pryor's got a legitimate chance here, because Trump's going to go hard right while they have this opportunity with the way the Senate is. And I think Pryor kind of lines up ideologically more like a Scalia. I didn't think Gorsuch did quite. I thought he was a little, you know, but I don't know what they're going to throw at Pryor, though.
Well, that's where I want to ask you about this, too, just the semantic battle of it, this idea that there's some hypocrisy going on here, since President Obama was trying to make this nomination, right, and put somebody on the Supreme Court, and it was held up.
Garland.
With Garland, that's right, Garland. And is this analogous to that?
I mean, sure, but the Republicans have control of the Senate. If people don't like that, then they need to elect Democrats to control the Senate. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you can make that comparison. Elections have consequences, and I you know, like that whole discussion is fine to have, but in reality, when the rubber meets the road, it's based on what the last election says.
And I think what was one of the, once again, you can look at the whole thing and say yes or no idealistically, pragmatically. I heard the other salvo fired from it was from McConnell or somebody in the Senate that said, well, no, that rule applies on a presidential cycle, not on a midterm cycle. Yeah, I've got. Oh, okay. I don't know the rule book in the first place.
What do we think of Mitch McConnell, especially after the 2017 special election cycle? I just, you know, don't take stock in what he says, but he's the guy. He's the guy Republicans for some reason have anointed their leader, and he's going to say these things. But as long as he's their leader, he gets to make those calls.
Listen to this quote. This is from Republican Senator Ben. Is it Sass?
Ben Sass, yeah,
of Nebraska, a member of the Judiciary Committee, speaking to the media, saying it's going to be a blood sport. Likely to be triggered by the nomination fight, that Americans ought to aim higher. Blood sport?
Yeah, I fully anticipate this to be the ugliest.
Ugh.
Really? We've had some ugly confirmation.
Clarence Thomas and that whole controversy.
Oh, yeah, and Anita Hill.
Yeah, I fully anticipate this going to be public. I mean, we're in the middle of an election cycle, and you've got this, you're going to have this Judiciary Committee hearing, and they're going to look for whatever they can on this individual. I don't know. Like, the standards right now for what journalism, you know, what you will go with in a story, mm-hmm. whether it's corroborated or not, I think have been lowered a little bit. I think that is going to open the doors to a really, really ugly campaign.
Well, with Jeff Flake already saying that he will vote against.
I'm not surprised.
I think he'll come around, though. I think he's saying that right now because he wants to do some. He wants.
What's he want? Yeah. What's
yeah.
He, want?
He wants some kind of legislation to do with to roll back some of those tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's fair. And he's in the Republican Party. He caucuses with the Republicans. I think eventually they'll broker some kind of agreement and get Flake on board.
Okay, so that's basically the opening offer in some negotiation.
Right, and that's what Trump does. I mean, mm-hmm. So I fully anticipate that. But don't be surprised. I mean, Flake's playing hardball. He's on his way out, and he doesn't have a whole lot to lose.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. He's going out swinging. So, you know, his movements, right when you think you know what he's going to do, he may pull a...
But keep in mind, we only need 51 votes.
Switcheroo.
We only need 51 votes to get a Supreme Court justice through, and they have the vice presidency, so Flake can't overplay his hand here.
But you can't count John McCain, though, because he's too sick.
Well, you may have I hate to say it. What if you have an appointed senator in that spot? You know, what does that look like?
And we'll talk about that when we get back. Also, I've been talking about people that have been questionable votes on different pieces of legislation in the Senate. I would say in the scenario, if you have a strict constructionist, an originalist as a nominee, you're going to get no issue with a Rand Paul, right? I mean, you're going to be there. So that's one of that the caucus you don't have to worry about. And I imagine others as well. All right, coming right back, we'll get to the phones too and the text. 343-0106 plus Rob Hulbert's going to join us. We're going to stack this place with Lanyap folks this morning. Right, 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. Many stories. I had another story this morning. Of course, we're talking about the oil prices going up, just like interest rates are going up. Prices on a lot of things go up out there. What about unsecured debt? Those interest rates. Before the Fed changed the rate, 2 weeks ago, it was already like 18% average in the U.S. Obviously, that is going up now. So I got a way for you to save some money on your credit card debt. Lower your interest rate. Okay, yes, I got your attention. Do that. Lower your interest rate on your credit card debt with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. LightStream rewards consumers who have good credit. Now, this is very specific to those of y'all with good credit. They give you a great interest rate to give you a little thank you for having that great credit, and no fees to go on with this. You get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with autopay. So pretty easy. Go look at the statement, see what you're paying in interest rate now, and compare that to 5.89% APR. Probably going to be a pretty good adjustment for you. They're loaning from $5,000 to $100,000, and LightStream says you choose your funding date. You could start it as early as today. And y'all, you will get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rate. The only way to get that discount, though, is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name, LightStream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. So visit LightStream.com for more information. All right, 8:22, a guest in studio, our buddy Jeff Poore, also is also Lanyap associated just a little bit. Rob Holford is going to join us here in a little bit.
Just
so
a little
we're going to Lanyap it up in here. And we're talking about a couple things. We were talking about the retirement here of Kennedy and what that means going forward. That's one of our subjects du jour.
Yeah, I found the list, the 25 that we've all been referencing, found the list, and the Alabama connection is William Pryor with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 25 people that the president released that list, gosh, months ago, and now we're coming back to it. This is when he was still, gosh, he released it back in November.
Right, when President Trump has mentioned Bill Pryor's name,
when the Gorsuch seat was up, when the Scalia seat was up, I should say, he put out a list. This was an effort to really win over the Never Trump crowd, and he put out a list, and I think the Heritage Foundation helped him assemble it, and a lot of those names, if not all of them, were on that original list.
Mm-hmm. And part of this play there, and you can help me with this, but if you're in the position of nominating somebody, you've got to nominate the person. If you're a Republican, conservative, you're going to nominate the most conservative person you can to the court that you can get confirmed.
And
that's how it's the most. Sometimes I'll get people that, you know, just say, well, they should nominate so and so. I said, well, if you could never get that person confirmed, all you're doing is just, you know, having a rah-rah speech.
And you
point.
Want someone nice and young so that they can be there for many, 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 many
years.
She
needs someone
12
to 55.
14 years old.
Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro yesterday. I heard him. I heard him trying to promote himself for being selected.
She thinks he can be on the court for the next 60 years.
There you go.
I think they got a chance to get somebody more conservative through this time than usual, because the way the politics line up is you're in a midterm election, and midterm electorate tends to be more conservative. It tends to be the base, and what would be a good base play than to throw out some red meat and get a William Pryor type appointment on, you know, going through confirmation.
All right, let's talk about this with John in Spanish Fort. Hey, John.
Good morning, Sean. How are you today?
Yeah, we're good, man. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. The lone progressive voice in Spanish Fort giving you a call today.
Good
the
deal.
Sun has come up, the sun has come up in the west, but I actually agree with Mitch McConnell in his statement.
Okay.
You can't freeze the functions of the government every 2 years with an election cycle. There's a senator elected every two or every 4 years. If you want to make your opinions heard, I believe there's a couple of Republican senators, Susan Collins, possibly, especially if we start dealing with the third rail of the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade. I think it's going to be an interesting confirmation process. What do you think?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, when you say interesting, I think what have we heard? Blood sport, and we've heard what do you say, Jeff? Dirty, rough. It's not going to be pretty confirmation process here.
Yeah, it'll be gruesome.
You're going to have children telling the adults how to act. I mean, from the name calling to and it hasn't even gotten started yet. You know, you think about what's
going Democrats on. Democrats got to throw everything they got at this. This is a pivotal moment, you know, in the court. And if they don't look like they're fighting it tooth and nail, their base isn't going to respond.
Right, right. And if the shoe was on the other foot, let's be, in deference to John, the lone progressive voice of Spanish Fort, being on the phone with us, if the shoe was on the other foot, the Republicans would do the same thing.
Yeah, and I absolutely...
The shoe was on the other foot.
It was just a couple years ago, yeah.
The shoe was on the other foot.
I absolutely anticipate people take it to the streets, and we're going to see... It's going to be a tough, tough time for Republicans, but... I don't know. If you're Trump and McConnell, you got to somehow rally them and get them to stick to their guns.
Hey, John, appreciate the call.
Well, it's funny. When Merrick Garland was nominated by President Obama, you had all the conservatives saying, there's just too much power in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
For one person to be able to shift the laws that much in that country by being the swing vote, and now... On Twitter yesterday and on Facebook, I'm seeing a lot of liberals saying, well, there's just too much power in the Supreme Court for one person to retire to be this big a deal.
It's always whose onx is getting gored. I mean, that's, or Gorsuched. Let's go to, by the way, I'm getting some text in here, too, at 343-0106. All right. Somebody said that the, okay, they're asking about the Democrats in the Senate. You need 51, okay? And that's what I wanted to get back to, right, in the Rand Paul thing, that there have been issues for the president's legislation and Republican packages being blocked in the Senate because they are, for example, like the Obamacare repeal and health care thing. You had Rand Paul and others saying, you know what, it's not that I want Obamacare, but what you're doing here is also, you know, not enough. We need to go ahead and repeal this thing completely. You have people in the Freedom Caucus that have, they're right of where something the president brings in. This, in a confirmation of a Supreme Court justice, a Bill Pryor, whomever, I don't think those people, those votes are in. You got those votes.
It's
now.
It's a much simpler. It's up or down on a person. It's not a 100-page bill with, right, all kinds of, you know.
So I mean, you count the Freedom, all those questionable Republican votes on different other pieces of legislation in a confirmation process. It should not be a problem.
I guess if you had the Senate's version of the Freedom Caucus is what Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and Rand Paul.
Yeah.
So you don't,
but
those
votes were in question on other things, but on, right, on this, I don't think there's any.
But
issue.
I do think the Susan Collins is a valid question. What is she thinking right now?
Do you think that the Democrats will pull the same shenanigans that the Republicans did when they blocked the vote for Garland, when they refused to, you know, meet with?
Well, they don't have
control.
They don't have the numbers, so it does. That's an irrelevant thing.
At this point, I don't think anything's irrelevant. I think we need to consider all angles. Because
irrelevant, I don't mean irrelevant from a.
I understand.
I mean irrelevant from the X's and O's getting the guy through the process point. I mean, I'm not saying that it's irrelevant. I mean, it's fine, but
you're saying by the rules of how
the Senate, they could do whatever they're going to do, mm-hmm, and it won't matter because he'll still get the 51 votes because the Republicans have the votes.
But you're assuming that all Republicans would vote in that same.
That's
fashion.
What I was just saying. I think they will in this because
I don't think they're going to look at the Democrats do and say, well, since he's not meeting with the Democrats, I'm not going to vote for him. I just think that's a whole different. What Republicans you may hold out want, they want something in return, and they're,
sure,
not really worried about what the Democrats do or don't do.
Okay, but I would just think that we'd be remiss if we don't point out that the game of politics has changed so much, so what we thought we could bet on before, it's anybody's game, and I think if we don't acknowledge that, then we're not doing our due diligence with, you know, alerting everyone as to what's going on in our nation's capital as well as here in our local elections as well.
All right, we'll get to that in a little bit here, the local stuff. Steve is in Fairhope up next. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to bring up a couple of quick points. The Democrats have brought some of this on themselves when they exercised the nuclear option and made 51 votes for closure, did they not?
Well, yeah. That started with the lower court judges. Remember,
right,
there was a whole fight about it, I think, about 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And Pryor was one of Bush's appointees that they were blocking and wouldn't let through. And I think once they exercise a nuclear option, I think this is a continuing process. I think the filibuster will eventually go away too.
Yeah, I think this is a consequence of an election that they didn't win the election. They're not going to have control over this. I think the confirmations will go a little bit smoother than unless there's something I can't dream of.
Well, you still have all the formalities, all the hearings, mm-hmm, and you're going to have this guy grilled up before a committee.
Right. Even if they're going to be confirmed, they're going to have to run the gauntlet.
It'll look a lot like what we saw during the transition and in the early part stages of Trump's confirmation of his cabinet appointees.
Yeah. I mean, think about, A.G. Sessions.
Right.
And those questions. When somebody you know is good. But
the
everybody's
boss
gonna,
and all those people.
Right. But you're going to land your punches so you can have that on the record.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
And then I said, such and such, even though it didn't matter, I was.
Do you enjoy watching the confirmation hearings as much as I do? It's good TV.
Some of them are tedious. Some of them are very tedious.
DVR it, go back to the highlights.
Coming right back. Right, 836 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this little Friday, Thursday morning. And we'll be talking to Rob Holbert from Land Yap, his compatriot Jeff Poore in studio with us. my partner, Kelly Finley, she's bringing Hatch back. She's bringing Hatch back. As you've gotten the latest Mazda that you're riding with, this is the first hatchback she's driven in 3 years. We'll put it that way.
Oh, I like the way you said it, because I was going to get you.
I know, you were mad at me earlier.
I'm in the middle of actually tweeting this out, because, you know, when I talk about the virtual screen inside the Maximus, that's his name?
Yes, Maximus.
He's so beautiful. Okay, that's tweeting out. Once you see that pop up, let me know. But yeah, I've been enjoying this vehicle. So what I do is every 2 weeks I get to try out a new vehicle. This is the 2018 Mazda 3 hatchback. Touring. I named him Maximus because he has a whole lot of trunk space. And that's very important to our family. We're the Fab Five. And this is perfect because it seats five. This has five doors, of course, which includes the hatchback. Great on gas mileage. That's a big deal for a lot of our commuters, because when you look at your paycheck and you wonder where's your money going, you want to know that you're not pouring it down the gas drain, if you will. From a safety standpoint, what I noticed immediately, because what I do when I get these vehicles, I tell them, don't tell me about any of this. I want to experience it like a new car owner so that I can tell people even better. But the rear view, rear backup camera that allows you to see what's behind you. This is the time of year where children are playing outside, so safety is key. Of course, you have your front and your side airbags, which protect you. From a vanity standpoint, you have your Bluetooth access, you have your HD radio, you have all those bells and whistles that I have just grown to love. And it's so smooth, it's so easy, and it cuts through traffic when you're on the freeway. I'm just saying, not that I've tried it yet.
Right, of course not.
But if I needed to. It has a nice little zip to it. So I'll continue to tell you more about Maximus, as that's what I've named him. But you can go over to the all-new Dean McCreary Mazda and check out your version. Name your own version and tell them that we sent you. Just look for the largest American flag in the state of Alabama. That's the all-new Dean McCreary Mazda, a dealership there. And give them a call, 471-DEAN.
All right. We're going to talk to Rob Holbert with Land Yap in just a second. I do want to grab a call or two here. Jay's been holding on in Mobile. Hey, Jay. We have Jay? We don't have Jay? We have lost Jay. All right, Jay is, Jay, if he can get on in a little bit, we'll go to him. I don't know what's going on with the Telo software. David is next.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
All right, man, what's up?
Hi. Listen, I'm the biggest fire supporter out there, probably along with Sean. I don't see him necessarily get the nomination, because I think to get the votes of Susan Collins, John McCain and Lindsey Grandisty, you're probably going to have to go with a woman justice, which would probably be that woman out of the Chicago circuit. But to say that the Democrats are completely powerless in this situation is not 100% accurate. They don't have a lot of power, but what they can do is they can deny the Republicans the quorum necessary to even hold the vote in the Senate if they really wanted to play hardball.
All right. And speaking of what, David, appreciate the call, but Dalton, you're pulling some stats here, some gambling stats.
Yeah, some of the sports books that put up political odds, they're actually all over this. And Ladbrokes, that's a place in the UK that we talk about pretty often when politics, when elections come around. Right now, they have Brett Kavanaugh as the favorite to win the nomination from President Trump. They've got him at about 2-1 odds. And right behind him, I think this is who David was talking about, Amy Coney Barrett. They give her 3-1 odds. Looking for William Pryor, they have him at about 20-1 odds, about 10 people down the list in that list of 25. So right now they say Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Barrett, the favorites.
All right, very good. So that's what the money is talking about this morning. All right, let's check in with our buddy Rob Holbert from Land Yap and new issue of Land Yap out on the streets. Now, hey, Rob.
You guys, you know, when you find yourself betting on judges, it might be time for Gamblers Anonymous. if you find yourself at the booth placing bets on judges, get help, please.
I got a hot tip. This Pryor is going to win the third race. I'm going to pay off all my debts.
It's not going to be a real exciting. Yeah, it's not going to be like watching the Kentucky Derby.
If you really want to gamble, Rob, you can bet on Rudy Giuliani at 66-1 odds, or Ivanka Trump at 200-1 odds.
But that's going to be a big payoff, man. That's how I'm going to get rich.
That's the one to go with. Yeah, that's That's the one.
But I think we'll quote Rob on that this morning. It may be a sign, if you're looking for a sign that you have a gambling problem, if you got a hot tip on a Supreme Court nominee and you're trying to put some money down on it.
He's a mutter. I swear he's a mutter.
Hey, new issue of Lanyap out on streets now. And really, I'm digging, even though it's something as pedestrian as, you know, street signs, it tells a story, and it's really a great watercolor. I like this.
Well, thank you. Oh, it's Laura. Laura Rasmussen is our artist. She is just fantastic. She's got a lot of ability and always can make any idea you have way better.
Well, and we've got Planes, Trains, and Automobiles represented.
Yeah, so what we're talking about, of course, is the transportation projects, things we've been talking about a lot this week. The main one, of course, being the airport move. Then there's also the Amtrak, the efforts to get Amtrak back through here, which were sort of derailed, no pun intended, when both Mississippi and Alabama declined to fund it. And then the last thing is the bridge project, which there was a little bit of a rough patch on that, too, this week. We missed out on a grant that would have helped on that end, but they're still moving forward with that.
Now, what about, let's talk about the airport first on this. It seems to be fast-tracked. As Kelly's headlines were reporting this morning, we're talking about that, they're ready to move on with the next phase. I mean, is this government now moving at like a very high-speed rail pace?
It is. I mean, the airport and Vlad Peebles both are moving very quickly. The airport seems like they've pretty much made up their mind, hey, this is what we want to do. And, as it's been explained, their attitude is sort of, we're not going anywhere where we are now. Things are not working. And, if we don't move out there, if we don't try to move to Brooklyn, then we just are just going to continue to languish. That's the attitude. We still haven't heard any monetary figures about how much this is going to cost. All we're told is that, hey, it's not going to be this fantastically expensive deal. And over time, we would have to redo the terminal out at Mobile Regional anyway, so this is just going to be money that's going to be spent eventually. And I kind of get the impression what we're going to build is something sort of welcome to Jamaica at first. This sort of like you step out on the tarmac and there's a guy with a cold drink.
We're gonna have a wash
all over you, but that's kind of, I mean.
Little Quonset
like
hut
love
there.
Boat, like Love start. Boat. What was his name? Isaac.
Yes. We're going to have a little Quonset hut sitting there on the tarmac, and you'll be able to walk in, and there'll be a cooler. I'll reach in and get you your beverage of choice. And
I want the tiki bar concession out there.
That would be.
I feel like that's what we're looking at. So, I mean, I think, eventually their thought is that, and they say that these low-cost carriers want to go to Brooklyn. They don't want to be at Mobile Regional. I still kind of question that issue as far as, it doesn't make sense to me why they want to go there, but they don't want to go to Mobile Regional if we've already determined that people will drive. I mean, if that's the number one thing that people will do is drive if the price is right. But we've tried low cost out at Mobile Regional before, and it's not worked. So I guess their attitude is, I think they've just sort of thrown up their hand and said, let's try this thing.
Hey, just joining us, talking to Rob Hulbert with Lanyap. What about on the stadium front? You and I talked about it earlier this week. City Council heard from people that wanted it and didn't want it. And I had Mobile City Councilman John Williams on yesterday. He was asking a bunch of questions about this project. Is this something that's going to get gummed up in City Council, or is this something that you think is that fast track is going to take it on through and that $10 million will go to the stadium?
From what I understand, there are the votes to put it through. I understand there are two votes that are not locked in or maybe not going to vote for it. John maybe being one of them, and Beth Rich being the other is what I've understood. But we'll see when the vote comes. But I think that the other council members are pushing that direction. I get that it's not an ideal. It's not the perfect deal for the city in that people say, well, why? Why give them money? Just let them build their stadium, and then we can go do this. But you are talking long-term deal with South and just the relationship they have with South. And the other part of it is getting away from having Lab people. And
But what happens long term? This is not a rhetorical question. But doesn't it happen, like you said, and that's what I asked a question several different ways of Councilman Williams, and he seemed to answer in the affirmative every time, that the stadium would be built whether the city helps or not. So the stadium is built and the city can go, you know, petition to put, you know, to pay them rent or whatever it is to put the GoDaddy there and Senior Bowl there. You know, why? If it only would happen if the city gives $10 million, then it's a different question, or the county gives $10 million as well. But if it's going to be built no matter what, then, you know, where's the motivation to put the money in there?
You know, the motivation, I guess, is just that it, you know, in helping the overall city and getting it done, I don't know that, I agree with you on that. I do understand from a purely fiscal standpoint, look at it and say, this, you know, if you want to play fiscal hardball, the smart thing to do is just say, hey, go ahead and build it, and we'll come out there. And, you know, I mean, the city doesn't have to negotiate, I think, for the Senior Bowl or some of these other bowls. I don't know that that has to be the city negotiating, but I think, you know, where they, what the way they look at it, or the way the mayor looks at it in particular, is that this is a great deal for us to get out of LAD, and it's a fairly inexpensive deal when you look at doing $500,000 a year over 20 years. And on top of that, they're going to kick back this $2.5 million so they can go out and tear down LAD and build this new high school football stadium without having to come into the city council for a big lump sum vote. And I think that's the way they look at it.
All right. We'll see. But both of those, you do agree, seem to be moving along more quickly than things usually move along through government.
They're moving along very quickly. And I think there's some irritation from the city council that they didn't see, you know, some of the studies and that kind of stuff that that the mayor's office has had. And so, I know there's a little irritation on that end.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of that, and what we're talking about, you know, the report that was done back in 2016 that gave LAD a D, Councilman Williams says he thinks it should be a C, getting semantics here, but I looked through some pages of it, and there were things that were structural. They showed, hey, here's where concrete is broken, yeah, or here's where this, right. And so, in due fairness, those are, you know, serious structural issues, and then it says, then the next page, it's, look at these two seats. This one rocks if you stand up on it or something like that. You know, to me, that's not the end of a structure. You come out there and you fix it. I mean, it's like they don't have a house. Okay, so you always have a rocky step.
Let's be honest. At the end of this 20-year period, you have a 90-year-old stadium.
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, let's be totally honest. It is, I mean, if you're looking at it in a serious way, I mean, LAD is not a, it's not where you should have a major sporting event. It is really not. It's not really a first world stadium at this point. It's ancient, and it doesn't, you know, I know that there's a lot of people who have had good times out there, and I think some of the members of the LAD board have, you know, have a lot of nostalgia for being on that board and really pushing hard to keep it. But, you know, at the end of 20 years, you look at it 20 years down the road and say, okay, we're going to have a 90-year-old stadium. Do you think that's going to be any better? I just look at it from the standpoint that it's going to have to be significantly replaced between now and then if we keep it.
Rob, do we know why that study, why it took so long for that study to even, you know, reach the headlines?
I don't know. I don't know why that's been that way. And, you know, that's a question we're going to ask, but I don't know why it has been held that way.
There it is.
So, I mean, there was some irritation from council members on that, yeah.
All right, let's talk about this. New issue of Land App with the watercolor, the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on the cover. Where do people find it?
You can find us now at 1,400 locations throughout Mobile and Baldwin County. Check us out online at landappmobile.com. You can also have us mailed to your home with the U.S. Postal Service for $1 a week. Quite a deal.
All right, a lot of people,
too. Long-term thinking right there.
That is, just like you talked about. Yeah, you talked about in Damn the Torpedoes, your long-term thinking. I like that.
Yeah,
hey,
you don't have to have all these transportation methods to get a lane out. Just get it delivered.
There you go. And when's the nappy issue come out?
Nappy issue is going to come out on the 18th.
All right. So people stand by.
A couple weeks away here, guys. Getting close.
All right, good stuff. Rob, we appreciate it. We'll check back with you soon.
All right, y'all have a great day. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, man?
You too.
I'll see you later today.
All right. All right. Let y'all can communicate on a cell phone or something like that if you want to. I mean, it's, we can use the 50,000 watt FM signal to do that as well. But I mean, yeah, there's other technologies. Coming right back, grab some phone calls and text here on Mobile Mornings, 343-0106, 343-0106. Hey, thanks, Kane. 855 FM Talk 106.5. Heads up, you got junk at the house, you got, even if you got junk in the trunk, or junk at your office. Or,
hold on now.
What? I'm just saying, if you've got junk, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey Bennett. His crew's working in Mobile and Baldwin County, commercial property, yeah, residential property, of course, and things maybe you don't know where, you know you can't throw it out for the garbage, or you can't throw it out for big trash, because it's things like monitors or, you know, whatever, things you know you're not allowed to put in the regular disposing through the city or through the county, depends on where you are. Well, they know what to do with it. They also know how to go up, unfortunately for the people that work with Trey and Trey himself, they know how to go up those attic stairs. You know, ones with the spring that's holding it together. They know how to climb up there and get stuff out of your attic, where everything is like the new fallen pink snow of the blown-in insulation is on those boxes. You want to get rid of those boxes, too? They can do it.
Could you imagine if other equipment and supplies and just the world was made of that strong spring? I mean, that spring can hold up.
Yeah, but anything. the wood can't. I'll tell you. I'll go off on a rant on that in a second here. But I remind you, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Get in touch with them. They're going to make that appointment time, not a spectrum of time, an actual time on an actual day when they actually will be there. And they'll quote you a price for the job. And if you say yes, that's the price you pay, whether the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was or not. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And, okay. The springs are amazingly strong, I would imagine. We have springs in here on our mic booms. These things are not even in the class of the spring that holds your attic stairs. But the stinking wood, that's just what's wrong with today. They don't make attic ladders like they used to, because they come down, looking at the one at our house, and it's not even, maybe it's half inch. I mean, and Jeff, you know, Jeff has some building science knowledge here. People don't know that about him. And you know what I'm talking about? It's not even like you would think you'd use 3/4 planking for the actual rungs of the ladder. But it's
flimsy, right?
It's flimsy. And Americans are getting fatter and fatter every day. We're going to have the next balloon to hit this country is going to be people falling through the rungs of their ladders on their attic.
Well, I wasn't thinking about the weight of the person because I was being gentle. I was thinking about what
I'm here.
I was thinking about what they're carrying. So you think about if you're bringing a dresser, okay, or...
Oh, no, wait, you break it immediately. You fall to the floor and you're crushed. You're crushed by the...
Note to self, do not use your attic at your house. Then I'm not coming over there and helping with any furniture.
I'm the guy that did it cartoon style a couple years ago and had my leg come through the ceiling.
Oh, no way.
I was walking down one of the beams in there and I was trying to fix an air conditioning unit up there and
Trey,
misstepped.
Help him, Trey. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. There it is right
What's
there.
What's the junk? I don't know. My daddy's leg is hanging through the ceiling, and he's saying some words we haven't heard him say before. I did it just like a cartoon. All right. For Jeff and Dalton, Kelly, the whole gang, thank y'all, and we'll be back in the morning. I'll see y'all at noon for Midday Mobile.